John 13, 34. And if you're able and would like to, you can stand for the reading of the word. If you're not able, it's about your heart, not your posture. Here we go. Matthew 22 and 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Now, John 13. Verse 34. "So, now I am giving you a new commandment. A new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You may be seated. You know, the last 3 weeks, there's been two topics on my mind. Basically, two themes. One is snow. Not that I wanted that to be on my mind. But the second has been love. I've been really challenged in a lot of ways about love. And it started basically on Valentine's Day, because on Valentine's Day God started talking to me about this message. God started putting things in my head about the way we choose to celebrate love, or the way we tend to think of what love is. We throw that word around a lot, love. I mean, I've been in certain social circles or circles lately where I bet you there's been 1,000 people that I didn't know, and that's maybe a good thing. And I'm not presupposing answers or their heart. I'm just saying, to walk up to me, say, "Love you, man." Right? Love you. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's better to say that than say you're a jerk. I'll take "love you" whether you mean it or not. I'll be straight with you. But I've heard that a lot lately. So I started thinking, the way God works in my spirit, what does that even mean to us? We throw it around pretty loosely. We throw it around very loosely. We use that word a lot of different ways. We'll say it. We cheapen that word. We'll say, "Man, I love me a Big Mac right now." Is that what Jesus was talking about, though? Or, I'll pick on me and Kelly, the Washington Redskins. What does that mean? They're an entity. They're a corporation. They change every year. Ownership changes. Basically, it comes down to a color. We love a color. Why do we have allegiance to a shirt? I mean, love. And I think about how many times is love really just the way we use it? Lust. She's fine. I love her. I just wonder, back in my wilder days, why I never had those feelings of love for people who weren't as attractive to me. How many times is it infatuation? And that's why it's so new and fresh and, woo, I'm in love. I'm going to shine up my car. Woo, man, we're going on a date. I'll spend an hour on my car. I will be honest, I've been married a while. I've never, this is the honest truth, this is sad. I've never cleaned that thing out. I've had that thing a year. I mean, I'll stop at a gas station and throw a few things in the trash. I've not detailed that thing. I've owned it a year. Nice car. God's blessed me. Wesley had his horse. I got my Jeep. But I've not washed it one time. Back when I was in school, man, every Friday, I clean that car. Does that mean I love more then? Or is it just infatuation? And see, that's why it fades sometimes, that love that we think we're just so in love. That's why it fades, because infatuation fades. Little kids, and I've heard these youth guys, Will and Kelly and some of these guys, preach this stuff to the kids, but it's true. Oh, they get so heartbroken. If you're dad and you got your daughter, especially us boys, we probably get heartbroken, but we don't show it that way. I'll show her. I'll get me another one. But your daughter sometimes get heartbroken. And how sad that is for a dad when the tears are running down their eyes. And if any guys are on the internet that done that to my daughters, I will hunt you down and I will punch you right in the jaw. I'll pray for you when it's over. But I don't roll that way now. But, you know, the little hearts say, I loved him. I loved him. How many times is love a habit? I've counseled so many people and they say, I want out of this. This relationship's bad for me. And I'm not talking about marriages, but I'm talking about people who are dating. Oh, he's bad to me. He's abusive to me. He does drugs. He's bad for my kids, but I can't get out of it. I counsel them. They say, oh, yes, I'm done. And they're calling me and they're talking all the time. And then a month later, they don't talk so much anymore. They're not around so much anymore. And that means they went back. Then they call me again another month. Oh, man, that's sorry, fella. But how much of that is a habit? They call it love, but it's really an insecurity. How much of love is an insecurity? I'm afraid to be alone. I'm afraid to be alone. Oh, I'm drinking a drink called loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. I think the prophet Billy Joel said that one time. And some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. But the world will do that. They'll sell that. Oh, this is just something to find something better. But how many times do we think that's love? And habits are hard to break. Whether it be drugs, as they know on Monday night. Maybe you need to come to Monday night. Love can be habit. You know, it can be lots of things that we call love. And you know, even on Valentine's Day, what made me start thinking about it is, you know, they were telling me what love was. Love was I have to take my wife to a fancy restaurant, or I have to buy her chocolate, or we have to go out of town to feel love. And sometimes we buy that junk. And so we get all worked up and we go, and nothing wrong with it. I've done it. Lord willing, I'll do it again at some point. It might be a while. But that we feel inadequate if we don't meet other people's expectations of what it means to love somebody. If I don't make Hallmark stock go up, I'm a bad dude. I'm a bad husband. If I don't leave my kids and get a babysitter and leave my church and leave everything behind and go for a week and spend some time sitting and looking at each other. And that's okay. But I don't have to do that to love, do I? I mean, is that what love is? Is that all love is? It's something we can buy. Can you guys put that together? I know it's hot. Can you guys push that door together? I know it's hot, but it's blinding me. I'm being blinded by light. And that's another song, and I'm not going to sing that one. I have before. Josh reminded me I almost went one verse too far. And so, Valentine's Day, and what is love? And then this movie came out, and I'm not preaching against the movie because I'm not seeing the movie. I'm not going to see the movie. And they were telling it was called a love movie. And it was on Valentine's Day, and they pushed it that way. You know, a date movie, a love movie. Oh, take your love to see 50 Shades of Grey. I'm not criticizing anything that I don't know anything about, because I don't know anything about it. I know enough to think I know enough about it. But I don't know anything about it, and I learned a long time ago, don't say anything about things you don't know about. I don't know a thing about it. But it started people talking about, what is love? Is that love? Is that what love is? What's love? And what, and you know, it's in the media. Who's allowed to love? And what are they, how are they allowed to love? And what's legal love and what's illegal love? And there's all kinds of stuff about love. Everybody's talking about love. And Jesus said, my whole commandment, my whole gospel, my whole life is based on this thing called love. And don't you think we need to know what love is? So what's love? And so then on Valentine's Day weekend, I'm getting somewhere. I was driving home from Kingsport, going over and ministering to a... See, that's how we spent our Valentine's. We went and ministered to some people that we had a good time with. But I ran across, it was at night. You guys remember how cold it was? It was like zero. You guys remember it was zero. And I was coming home about midnight from Kingsport. And I got to about Big Stone. And my wife and I are just having a good time, just spending time together. I mean that. We were. Because that's when we're the closest. When we're going together as a team and ministering, that's when we're the closest. You know, it really is. Because I used to, when I do other stuff, and that's fine too. There was like, there was always something, like you'd have a good time for a while and there was a fight for a while. Back in the, you know, back in the day, you ever been in that kind of relationship? You go on a trip and, you know, the prom. How many, you know, you the prom. You always fight at the prom. That's supposed to be young love. Why do we fight? Has anybody ever fought at the prom? Raise your hand. All right. Some of y'all lying. God, forgive them. Forgive them. They're ashamed to admit. Some of you probably sitting beside who you went to prom with. You're afraid to admit it. So I was driving back, having a good time, and kind of anxious to get home. It's late. You know that feeling when you drive, you drove enough and you're tired and you're ready to get home. And over in the left lane, on that four lane, somehow, it had to be God, dark, I saw a man walking. A man walking. I thought, man, it is zero. It is zero. What is going on? And so, I go up the road. You can't turn around immediately there, that way that four lane is. I go up the road and I turn around. And I come back. And, you know, my wife loves me, and she trusts me, and she trusts the Holy Spirit. But my wife is usually the more cautious person. Now, wait a minute. You don't know what you're walking up on. Now, wait a minute. Right? But I looked at her, and I said, Myra, I think that's Larry. Now, you think about this. I'm going 60 miles an hour in the dark on a four lane on the other side of the road on U.S. 23. And God said, that's Larry. Come here, Larry. Come here, Larry. Come here, Larry. You can sit down a minute, Larry. I might talk about you for just a minute. I don't have forever. Y'all got to keep me on time. Larry is becoming a good buddy of mine. Tell you about Larry. God, as you all know, sent us 5 years ago all the way to Mountain City, Tennessee, start ministering to a bunch of guys that love Jesus. And it radically transformed my life. Now, Larry's not been to Mountain City, but we're getting somewhere. But we poured into these guys, and they poured into us. And when they get out, you know, these guys serve their time, they get out. And one such guy is my dear, dear other good friend, Regan. And Regan has been a member of this church for 5 years. And now the last, how many weeks, Regan? 12, 14 weeks, he's never missed a Sunday that we've had church. And I know it's not all about that necessarily, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be together. It shows something. And I think he'd come on every other night if we could drive to Kingsport and get him every night, every other time. Because he lives in Kingsport. Doesn't miss. He called me and was upset because we were a bunch of wimps canceling the snow. He about found him a new church. He's like, I want a tough church. I don't want a bunch of wimps. But let me show you how God works. I'm getting there. Hang with me. So the fact that God sent us into Mountain City, and the fact that God sent Regan to us and sent us to Regan, and we worked together as a team, and the fact that Regan came out and Regan was faithful, and Regan was driving back and forth, and that Sunday Regan drove himself here, him and his friend, they ran across Larry for the first time. And they couldn't pass him by. You know why? Because Jesus didn't pass him by. So they stopped beside the road in Duffield, and they said, can we help you? I said, yeah, I'd like a, you give me a ride. I'm going to pound. Yeah, you want to go to church? Yeah, I'll go to church. Now Larry's never missed a Sunday. I dig this though. Somehow we goofed up. I mean, we goof up? We did. And he came to church, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. But we let him out of here without getting his number somehow. You know? And you get, sometimes that happens. You just meet people along the way, and you pour into them, and you just pray that the seed. But somehow, so the next Sunday, I go pick up Regan. We're driving back from Kingsport. You guys gotta understand, on Sunday mornings, it's busy around here. We ain't just rolling in. It may look like we just roll. We've been doing some stuff. We do a few things. So we rolled over and got Regan, and we're driving back, and Regan can bear my witness. Regan says, Heath, as we approach Duffield, have you heard from Larry? Did somebody follow up Larry? I said, I don't know the answer to that, Regan. It wasn't 2 minutes. We passed a guy walking beside the road, and I said, let's pull over. Who is that? I get out. It's Larry. How can you make it? It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Larry? Larry is always around. So Larry had been coming to church for a little while, and that night I stopped and I picked up Larry. And see, Larry's got a story a lot of you guys don't know. He has a fiance. You see, he came to Jesus just a few weeks ago. He has a fiance incarcerated, expecting his son. And she's going to be in there, unless God does something else, till December of 2017. She's got a ways to go. Let me tell you Larry's story, why Larry is always in Duffield. Larry lives up in the South Fork of Pound. It is 19 miles, because I put it on my navigator, from this building to Larry's house. 19 miles from this building to Larry's house. Okay? Larry, for 17 straight weeks, walked 56 miles one way to a jail to spend 15 minutes on a video screen with a girl that he feels he loves. He would start walking Friday. I'm not sure exactly how long it would take him to go 56 miles, but he would walk 56 miles one way. He would get there early in the morning on Saturday. He would see her on Saturday. Then he would stay in Duffield. He would sometimes sleep in post offices or wherever he could find a... I shouldn't probably say that. He did not do that. He did not do that. He found very legal, non-trespassing places to sleep. And he would get up on Sunday morning, he got 15 more minutes. They're a video screen. You don't touch anybody. There used to be a glass. The glass is gone. Now it's a video screen. And then he would start walking back home every weekend for 17 weeks. I know the first time Regan and I were talking about in the car with him, Regan said, son, if you ever figured out how to love Jesus that way, you're going to set the world on fire. But I think about that. I think about the difference between that, and I know that's not what we're exactly talking about, but I think about the level of passion and commitment to that versus going up to somebody you don't even know and just saying some words. And what do the words mean? Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry. Give Larry a hand. He needs some encouragement. He needs some encouragement because the reason I said 17 straight weeks, that Valentine's Day weekend, unbeknownst to him, I gave him a ride. We got him a room that night, a legal room. And he called me the next day. And he was a little bit, it's okay if I say this, I think. He's a little bit upset. Without any knowledge of him, as they do, they transferred her 7 hours away. Didn't even know where she was then. We know now. So he needs your prayer. He needs your prayer as a young believer and also to figure all this out in his head and his spirit and to be encouraged to know that Jesus loves him. But I think about all this because if it's that important that Jesus said, for example, in John 15:9, he says this, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Joy. See the connection between love and joy we talked about earlier? Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other, but hear this. Hear this. How do we love? Love each other in the same way I have loved you. It's not a word to throw around. It's not an infatuation. It's not something we say. It's a pretty serious thing if we say, I love the way Jesus loved you. But that is the commandment. We so focus on rules and we so focus on this and we so focus on that. When Jesus said, that is the commandment that matters. Everything else, I just read you the scripture, hangs on that. The same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Listen to that. You're his friends. He calls you friend. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Not Heath. This is in red. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. I hear people, and I've heard people in pulpits say it, and I think half the time we're joking. And so I'm not picking on people. And I don't. If you've said it, I don't have any memory of it, I promise. I'm not trying to point people out. But we say this kind of thing. You heard this? I love you, but I don't like you. You ever heard that? Let me ask you, though. If we really read what Jesus just read, and you just saw that video earlier of Jesus hanging on the cross, is that possible? Is it possible really to say, I don't like you, but I love you in Jesus' name? What does that mean? What does it mean? How can we love somebody we don't even like? I don't like you, man. But because Jesus said to, I'll say this word, I love you in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? What is Jesus saying to us? We bury my aunt. And I'm getting. We're getting there. I know this isn't a fast running, jumping, sword slinging, although it is in a way. We bury my aunt this week. And Those of you that did make, and everybody was busy, the weather was horrible. I'm not, I know you all were praying, and probably a lot of you called Dad and texted Dad, but there were several of you that went to that wake. And you can verify for me, there were people, I've never seen a wake like it. There were people lined up out the funeral home, wide rows, out the funeral home, all through the parking lot, to the four lane. And at some points, they said they were actually curved around into the four, going down, not in the four lane, but going down the four lane. Because this lady, and I can verify, loved people. With all of her life. I mean, and we treated it. They treated her, which has really got me thinking. I mean, people are amazed that this lady loved that way. And I think, why should this be the exception? Why should this be, wow, this lady loved everybody. Why should this be the exception? Why should that surprise us? Why should every wake not look like that? Why shouldn't every wake people not line up and say, yes, they love me. They always show me love. They didn't put themselves first. They weren't selfish all the time. It wasn't about them. But they just loved people. I mean, really, was it not? The whole services were wonderful. I have no negative thing to say. And people meant so well and they were accurate. And I said the same kind of things. But then God got in my head and said, why does that surprise us? Why does that surprise us? When this, given the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he could have created a whole bunch of rules. He could have, we had plenty of rules. But he told us to love. He said love. And everything else is encompassed in that. I think about a couple stories about Jesus' love, because if we take the fact of what Jesus said, that the key is love like Jesus loves, then the question is, how does Jesus love? I think about the lady in the dirt, caught in adultery, laying there naked, and the men around her with all the rules. They thought they were the earpiece of God. They thought they had the voice of God. They thought they were the ones that had it all figured out. We know what God wants to do. We know what sin is. And they were just following the law. They weren't breaking the law. We forget that sometimes. We villainize these guys and say, oh, they're just like just the most evil people. They were following the law. They said, kill her. What are you going to do, Jesus? And he got down in her dirt. He didn't judge her. He didn't say, let's have an hour to figure out the altar if you're going to be serious about it first. Let's have a counseling session and talk about things you got to give up. Let me hear about how serious you are and we'll judge how if you could. He just got down in her dirt and he said, I love you. He said, I'm not going to condemn you. You see, we think we have to be the prophet to a generation telling everybody what's wrong and right. Let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit does that just fine. Sometimes it's good enough just to say Jesus loves you. You figure that part out and the Holy Spirit will take care of the other stuff. I think about another situation in the Bible. You see, God does these awesome intersections where he juxtaposes two extreme positions. He put a lady in adultery right beside a bunch of Pharisees or preachers of the law, keepers of the law, teachers of the law. Same time, in the book of Luke 7, same thing happened. He was at a dinner, and there were Pharisees there. It's a pretty fancy dinner at that time. These would have been the highfalutin religious folk. These would have been the people that all the church people wanted to impress. He'd have been hanging out with the bigwigs of the church world. He'd have been hanging out with the people that are on TV and are on theology schools and all this stuff. So Jesus was there hanging out. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to be long on purpose. I'm going to read this though. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, say immoral woman, You see these two positions? He's in the home of a Pharisee, a preacher, a keeper of the law. And here comes a woman that's titled an immoral woman, a sinner. A woman whose life is a mess. You ever been in a mess? See, too many people, they start coming to church and they separate themselves and they forget what it's like to be in a mess. Listen, may God never let me forget that I'm a mess of myself. That I was a mess. That I was a mess. But He took this mess and He made a message. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And I'm not going to preach the whole, I mean, you could preach an hour, or you could preach days on this. But that, the connotation is she was likely, possibly a prostitute, and that was likely, possibly something very valuable to her at that time. I'm not getting too graphic, but they didn't bath a lot back then, boys. I mean, it was, they get a little expensive perfume, and it was a sign of her job. And so she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. And her tears fell on his feet. And she wiped them off with her hair. And she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Do you know what kind of woman that is? Oh, do you know who that is? Do you know what kind of woman that is? She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Stay with me, guys. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whose he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the first time, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Listen to this. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, many sins. She's a sinner. She's a mess. She's a messed up. She has many sins have been forgiven. I'm all for counseling sessions because I see people come under emotion and they need that to understand what they've done. But where was the counseling session? Where was this big altar call? Where was this big discussion? Where was all this? All she did was break herself and show love. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And I'm not supposing anything from this. I'm just reading you scripture. I haven't drawn any conclusions. I haven't tied any bows. I'm just reading the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ. That's all I'm doing. So if it makes you uncomfortable, I don't know, take it up to the author. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, we don't even hear, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we don't even hear if she said anything here. We don't hear that she walked up to Jesus, my New York buddy, and said, love you, Jesus, like we like to do. Nothing wrong with it. But she showed it. I wonder if we demonstrate love as much as we say love. You see, Jesus said this too. He said, greater things shall you do. And sometimes we like to say, well, we don't see a lot of that anymore. Sometimes we do, though, but sometimes people will say that in some places because there's not enough prayer. Maybe so. We know Jesus told them certain, when they couldn't cast out the demon, Jesus said, prayer and fasting needs to take. So I know that's probably true. But how many times is it also because we don't keep his very commandment to love others like I love? How many times do we not get that promise of power because we aren't keeping his commandment? We aren't loving the way he said love. My brother. You know, the greatest expression of love I've ever seen is why we played that video, and we don't plan these things out. I think it's awesome. They also played the same type of pictures earlier in the service. It was when he bore our sins on a cross. And I think it's easy for us to say, well, that was a one-time act. It's a cross. It's a crucifixion. Like it was just, I know we know it was horrible, but we look at it as it was a cross. It was a crucifixion. I mean, it was a powerful thing, but it was, but do you understand the willpower? Do you understand that from the moment Jesus gave up himself, you understand he had to give himself up. He had to come to Jerusalem. He had to let them take him. They came in and said, we're looking for Jesus. And he says, I am he. And they just passed out, the temple guards. They couldn't even stand up to him. Many times they had tried to get him before, and God let him out. They couldn't catch him. They couldn't touch him. But he gave himself up in love. And let me tell you this. From every moment, every step, it was an intentional act of love. It was on purpose. Love is intentional. It's not a nature. It's intentional. There's a song, I can't help falling in love with you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Love is an intentional act. And from the moment he walked, he knew what he was facing. Larry is awesome, man. 56 miles. Each step of the way, he could quit. Each step in the cold, he could quit. But something drove him to take step. See, we can say, you walk 56 miles like it's a one-time event. No, it wasn't a one-time event. It was hours. It was step of love. Step of love. Every step he has a choice. Do I quit and go back home? It's just 15 minutes. It's just on a thing. Step of love. Step of love. Oh, and that's an awesome story, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ did. Every step as he went to the temple, as he went to the home of the temple leader, as he went to the Pharisees, as he went to the temple guard, every step, he had a choice. He could stop. He could say the word and they would pass out before him. He could be called into heaven. Every step he intentionally took because he loved you. And so when he got to the Pharisees and they did their thing, the Word of God says they started mocking him and they took their fists and punched him. I'm not going to do it, man. If you see other people, I might. I like you, though. They would punch him and every blow he took because he loved you. He loved you. He loved you. He could have stopped. Every blow, and they took him and did their show with the Roman officials and Herod and Pilate, and he was beaten. Every step, he was flogged with a whip with bits of metal and rock and bone attached to the end. And each time that whip hit and tore flesh out, he made a decision to go on. It's not just a one-time thing. I come and I bow. Every day, you make a decision. Every step, we don't have time to be off. It's not about us. Love is not about us. The love. love he's talking about is not selfish love. It's not I love them because they make me happy. It's not I love them because they're good for me. It's I love them, and I'm going to demonstrate it by putting them ahead of me. Every flog of the whip, the Word of God says they took a reed. The Word of God says they took thorns and put on his head. You can imagine as they dug him in and the blood would trickle. As they taunted. Oh yeah, we love our family. Let somebody say something on us on Twitter or Facebook or something. Well, I love them, I just don't like them. He looked at them while they mocked him and tore into him. And he knew they would kill all of his friends. He knew that too. Do you understand? You say, well, it's not about me. It's about my family. He knew they would kill everybody he knew. And he looked him in the eye. In a spiritual, in a physical sense. And he demonstrated love. It wasn't just some word. As they hit him, I love you. The fact that he sat there and he took it. Show love. And each step of the way to that cross, every step, he made a decision. I'm going to go another one. And I'm going to go another one. Every step. How about you? How about me? Every day. Every day. Every step. He showed that love. And then they says the Word of God says they nailed him to the cross. And you know, that's the one thing on those, well, lots of things. But I have to say, when you watch those shows and movies about Jesus, and it doesn't even, I'm sure, do it justice to being in real life. I can't hardly look at the part where they take his feet and his hands. And they drive spikes. Can you imagine that? Each hit of that hammer, he made a conscious decision. See, Rome couldn't keep him on a cross. The Pharisees couldn't keep him on a cross. Your sins can't even keep him on a cross. Though he bore them, his love kept him on a cross. Love for the Father and love for you, just as he commanded us. And so as he hung there, and as they continued to mock him, and he would have seen his mama crying, and he saw something kept him hanging there. It wasn't an abstract love for a population of people. It was a personal love for you and me. Not because you keep the rules. Not because you got it all figured out. Not because you have a theology degree. Not because you're passionate. Not because you jump up and down. Not because you play in a praise band. Not because you're a radical preacher. Not because you wear flannel when you preach. Not because you have a cool set. Not because you're on the internet. Because he loves you. So I think about all this as God sums it up. I think about my dad. And if you wonder why I titled it Rated R Love, just like there was a Pharisees and there was a immoral woman, there are two supposed love movies. One, 50 Shades of Grey, that I don't know anything about. But The Passion of the Christ. They both, listen to this, hear this. They both carry the same rating. Did you know that? The Movie Picture Association says they're both rated R. Two stories that purport to be about love. And the world says they're both rated R. They're restricted. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you when I say this. There's only one that's dangerous. And it's not about whipping somebody and all that stuff. Well, it's about Jesus Christ who loves you and who bore your sins. That's, you know what? They probably got it right. Not because it should be restricted. It should be general admission. But because it is the one that's dangerous. It's the one that can change the world. Some movie about somebody slobbering all over each other ain't that dangerous. It's just dumb. But that right there, friend, that is dangerous love. That's world-changing love. That's the kind of love that'll turn the world upside down. That's the kind of love that'll keep you stepping and stepping every day in love and loving those that make fun of you and loving those that persecute you and loving those you have nothing in common with and loving those you don't understand and loving those that don't fit your rules. That's what'll keep you going step after step. See, I think when we look like my Aunt Lois, which you didn't know, many of you, but many of you do know this man. He's not comfortable right now. He's not comfortable right now. See, he's sat down. He can't handle it. Doesn't want the glory. Doesn't want the limelight. But if you knew, even though she didn't, things were a little, the variables were different, but they were very much similar people. Because how many know, I'm not saying he's an angel or perfect, but how many know he spends his life selflessly dedicated and devoted to you? Wrapping up, but it's not a one-time thing. It's not that's just Pastor R. See, that's where I think we miss it. And that's what I think God wants to tell you today. Every day when he chooses not to go do things that other people recreate and do because he wants to pour into you, he makes a step. He makes a conscious decision each day, every second, every minute of the day, that I'm going to put you guys first. I'm going to put him first. But he, in doing that, what's the Bible say? How we love God, we love you all. How do you love God? Love each other. Not just the ones that look like you. Not just the shiny, happy people. All his children. All over the world. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how poor they are. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care who they love or who loves them. You are commanded to love them as Christ loved you. So I think we do a disservice. And you know why we do it? Because we want to excuse our own lack of it. We do a disservice when we say Aunt Lois or Pastor R. It's just our nature. You know what? His nature is a sinful nature just like yours and mine. He just makes a conscious choice to put himself last and put you first. And you and I can do the same thing, and we should. It's not just his nature. He chooses to love. So what we do is we excuse ourselves from doing anything. That's just Pastor R, man. God has blessed him, man. Whoa, man. That's a man of God. What about me? What about you? So, tying a bow on this, here's what I would say. God, as in that service earlier, we were having joy, and I thank God that we got that. Show me that there's people in here that don't feel loved. People around the world who communicate via the internet. There's people all over. They don't feel loved. They feel rejected. You know, Gandhi, I think he's purported to say it. I didn't hear him say it. But they say that Gandhi said, which he's just, you know. But he said, I like your Jesus, that you're Christians I have problems with. Let me tell you what, there's a world out there that would love our Jesus if we just show him to them. So there's people, I believe, all my heart in here that you put a shell around you because you've been hurt. And you've forgotten what love is. Stick with me. We're finishing. We're finishing. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. That's not a cute song and it's not a word we say. He died for you. And you know what he wants you to do today? He wants you to be like that woman who had it more figured out than the teachers of the law, just to come forward and love on him and say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. I'm going to love. I'm going to pour myself out. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to let pride stop me. I'm not going to let fear of what other people think about me. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm just going to come and lay at your feet and say, I love you. I love you. That's right. I'm going to ask every head to bow. And if you want to, you don't have to wait on me. There's people at this altar already. If God's speaking to you right now and you know, that you need that kind of love, that you need more love. That there's things in your past that have made it hard for you to love, but you want that love. You've been seeking love. You've been searching for love. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right now. I just want you to raise your hand with me and say, that's the kind of love. That's the kind of love that I want to see. I see your hand. I see your hand. Somebody else that says, I want that kind of love. I want Jesus' love in my life. I see your hand. Somebody else to say, I will accept his love that he gave for me. I just want that kind of love. If that's you, just raise your hand. If you're in here and you say, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I haven't loved the way Jesus loved always. I'm not perfect in that. And I want that. I want to love. I want to keep Jesus' commandments. I want to love like he told me to love. If that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand with me. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands all over this room. All over this room. And here's something powerful that's going to happen. See, I told you that kind of love is an intentional love. It's a selfless love. It takes steps. You have to take step after step. There's about, depending on where you're sitting in this building, there's about 10 steps to get to this altar. And so here's what we're going to do. I want you to keep your hand up. There were hands all over this room. I want you to keep it up. And even if you didn't raise it, if you know in your heart that you can love more like Jesus, I'm telling you what, oh, we should all. I want you to put your hand up. I want you to put your hand up. And I'm going to ask you to do something very intentional right now. I'm going to ask you to take 10 intentional steps and say, that's the kind of love I want. I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, if you mean it, you'll do it. If you mean it, you'll do it. It's more about saying something. It's about doing something. If you mean it, those 10 steps you'll take. One, two. You ready? This next number, I want you to come and I want everybody to stand. And if somebody's in your way, you just say, excuse me, I got to go love on somebody. Three, come on, everybody stand. Come on, come forward, come forward. 10 steps, keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping. You got to be intentional in your love. Keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping. You got to be intentional in your love. Keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping. Rain it all, love. Intentional.